O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Reveal among us the light of your presence, that we may behold your power and glory. Blessed are you, sovereign God of all. To you be praise and glory forever. In your tender compassion, the dawn from on high is breaking upon us to dispel the lingering shadows of night. As we look for your coming among us this day, open our eyes to behold your presence and strengthen our hands to do your will, that the world may rejoice and give you praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. Lift up your heads, O gates, be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord who is mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of Glory. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Well, we come now to our act of penitence. Let's pause for a moment and cast our minds back over the last days and weeks. All those evidences of God's great love for us, and those that knowledge of the ways we have fail to respond rightly to that great love. And so we come to our confession. Christ came in humility to share our lives. Forgive our pride. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ came with good news for all people. Forgive our silence. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ came in love to a world of suffering. Forgive our self-centeredness. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And we hear the assurance of God's forgiveness in these words. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Savior, forgive us our sins, and make us holy to serve him in the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And we turn now to our gospel canticle, the Magnificat. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. He has looked with favour on his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, and has scattered the proud in their conceit, casting down the mighty from their thrones, and lifting up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has come to the aid of his servant Israel to remember his promise of mercy, the promise made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and shall be forever. Amen.
Amen. And our first reading comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 16, beginning at verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. to the only wise God be glory forever, through Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We turn now to our psalm, Psalm 8, beginning at the first verse, and we start with the refrain. Truly the Lord is our shield. My song shall be always of the loving kindness of the Lord. With my mouth will I proclaim your faithfulness throughout all generations. I will declare that your love is established forever. You have set your faithfulness as firm as the heavens. For you said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn an oath to David my servant. Your seed will I establish forever and build up your throne for all generations. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, and your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. For who among the clouds can be compared to the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the host of heaven? A God feared in the council of the holy ones, great and terrible above all those round about him. Who is like you, Lord God of hosts? Mighty Lord, your faithfulness is all around you. Truly the Lord is our shield. As we sing of your love, O Lord, anoint us with the Spirit's seal, that we may praise your faithfulness and proclaim your truth from age to age, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And our second reading comes from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "Well, how will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
There is something special about an ordinary person doing something quite extraordinary, especially if they do that extraordinary thing at a young age. Take Louis Braille, for example. By the age of 15, he had entered a language enabling blind people like himself to have the chance to read. Or Laura Decker, who sailed around the world by herself at the age of 14. Or Jordan Romero of the United States, who climbed to the top of Everest at the age of 13. Or Malala, who became the youngest winner of the Nobel Peace Prize, having survived a brutal attack by the Taliban and campaigning for women's rights. or Greta Thunberg, an ordinary teenager with a passion for the environment who has championed a worldwide movement. Or Mary, an ordinary teenage girl whose life was interrupted by a visit from an angel. Mary, the teenager, was betrothed to a carpenter living in an insignificant backwater of the Roman Empire. There was nothing in her past that could have prepared her for what Gabriel told her was going to happen, that she was going to give birth to God's son. She barely had any time to take in Gabriel's words that she was highly favored, chosen by God, and she had no time at all to think it over. She just said, quite simply, willingly, and without reservation, "May it be to me as you have said." In other words, "Thy will be done." I found myself wondering whether Mary was a complete innocent, unaware of what may happen to her, but I suspect that Mary must have known the difficulties she could face. An unmarried teenage mother in those days wouldn't just be the cause of a little social awkwardness. It was a disgrace, shame, scandal. It could easily have resulted in her being stoned to death. Undoubtedly, the marriage her parents had arranged for her would be cancelled, and her future looked bleak. Her own community would shun and reject her. She might be forced to leave home and travel on her own to escape the shame and humiliation. Thankfully, at present in this country, we live in more tolerant times. But it's worth remembering the significance of Mary's complete acceptance of God's will for her. She doesn't just agree to having a baby. What she is agreeing to is putting her own life aside and giving it to God. She has absolutely no idea what the future holds, only that she will give birth. She doesn't know whether she will live or whether she will die. The angel gives her no guarantees about her own future, only that her child will live. Yet Mary has true faith. She trusts God. She knows that surrendering to God's will is greater than her own worries and concerns. She doesn't seek assurances. The only thing she seeks is to conform to God's will. She is willing to allow God to transform her. As we move through Advent and make the journey towards the celebration of Christmas, we are passing through the season of preparation, anticipation, and transformation. And we pause here this morning to hear Mary's story once more and to be challenged by her response to God. "Let it be unto me as you have said." Of course, we all have the gift of free will, as did Mary. We all have our own ideas about how we live our lives. Free will is a gift. It's one of God's gifts to us. We have the gift of free will, which means we have our own ideas about how our lives are to go. That is our gift from God, and it's part of the way we are made in His image. As C.S. Lewis wrote in the Screwtape Letters, "God does not want slaves to do His bidding under His command, but sons and daughters who willingly and joyfully join in His work." But free will leaves us with constant daily choices about how we live our lives and whether we live them only for ourselves or for God. There's an old joke which goes like this: "Do you want to hear God laugh? Well, if you do, tell Him your plans." Mary had plans for her life. She was engaged. She was going to get married. Presumably, she was looking forward to a normal life within her community, with her husband raising her children. Yet Mary was prepared to put all of that to one side when God told her his plans for her life. She made a choice, and she chose to put her trust entirely in God. And as we remember Mary's story and her obedience to God, let us follow her example and choose to trust God and to do his will. Amen.
Well, we're going to turn now to prayer. Watchful at all times, let us pray for strength to stand with confidence before our Maker and Redeemer. That God may bring in his kingdom with justice and mercy, let us pray to the Lord. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, that God may establish among the nations his scepter of righteousness. Let us pray to the Lord. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, that we may seek Christ in the scriptures and recognize him in the breaking of the bread. Let us pray to the Lord. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, that God may bind up the brokenhearted, restore the sick, and raise up all who have fallen. And we pray especially for Pam, Jack, Trish, Jen, Catherine, Derek, Brian, Lorraine, Richard, David, Peter, Christine, Ben, Jennifer, Jean, Rosemary, Nigel, Mavis, and others known to us, and all who stand in need of God's help and our prayers today. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, that the light of God's coming may dawn on all who live in darkness and in the shadow of death. We pray especially for the families and friends of David Froome, Ray Collins, Sybil Wren, Anthony Bush, Doris Hill, and others recently departed this life, and all those whom we remember with love and thanksgiving. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, that with all the saints in light, we may shine forth as lights for the world. Let us pray to the Lord. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. And the collect for today, this fourth Sunday of Advent. Eternal God, as Mary waited for the birth of your Son, so we wait for his coming in glory. Bring us through the birth pangs of this present age to see with her our great salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we join together in the words of the prayer that Jesus himself taught us. Awaiting his coming in glory as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon us. Scatter the darkness from before our path, and make us ready to meet him when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us, and remain with us and those we love and pray for, now and always.
Amen.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We hope that you have a very good day. I know there are lots of things going on in various churches round and about. Do please join us for the final coffee morning before Christmas on Wednesday morning, and then for our Zoom conference call carol service at 6 o'clock in the evening. Everyone is very welcome. And on Christmas Day, there are various services in various churches, and on Christmas Eve, but Christmas morning, we will be meeting here at 10 o'clock to Zoom and conference call, and again on the 27th of December. It would be lovely to see you and hear you then. Have a good week and a very happy day. God bless. Bye-bye.